Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You want your Burt Show in one full show every day, uninterrupted, and dang it, you don't want ads. No problem. Become a bonus Burt Show subscriber. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
Get it? The Burt Show.
All right, so little question for you guys to ponder and debate. So, for instance, in my case, one of Bart's friends, like one of his best friends from college is Markham, right? So I would have text exchange with Markham, but my husband would be none the wiser about it. Okay or not okay? Because that's Cassie's question.
So I was in the car the other day with my husband, and we have like part of our car display is text messages show up. And we were driving, and he sees a text message from his best friend, one of our groomsmen at our wedding, pop up on his screen. And he's like, oh, is this person texting me? So he like does a quick look at his phone, and it's not his phone, which means it's my car connected to, or my phone connected to the car. And so his best friend is texting me. So my husband goes, why is my best friend texting you? And I was like, oh, in reality, I was trying to fly his best friend in to go to a concert with him for a weekend and surprised my husband, Chad, without him knowing. So we were texting back and forth about whether or not he could make it. But also his best friend and I text sometimes, like it's like once every 6 months, maybe. His friend's really into music. So if he's listening to some house remix and it has Britney in it, he'll send me the link. I might text him, be like, yo, is your daughter selling Girl Scout cookies? We'd like to buy some. That's like the interactions that we have, or surprising Chad. But there are like times when it's just a friendly text, but the exchange maybe goes for 5 or 6 texts and then it drops off for another 6 months. And so Chad said, I didn't know you were texting my friend. And I was like, oh, yeah, we text every few months. I text all your friends. And he's like, what? And I was like, well, I'm sorry. I didn't know I needed to tell you. I'm happy to tell you. And you can read all of the text threads. Like, you're welcome to my phone. But they're important to you, so they're important to me. And I want to establish relationships with your friends outside of you so that when they visit, like I can have conversations with them. Like they're my friends now too, even though they're not my besties. He talks to them every day. But I'm like, the things that people who are important to you, Chad, are important to me. And I want to establish those like friendships and relationships.
Like, how do you argue with that?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm just weirded out that I never knew that you texted them. And I was like, I'm really sorry. I didn't think it was worth being like, hey, Simon sent me a Britney song today. Like, it just, It felt weird. And I also was like, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I don't feel like I need to report it. And I was like, have you never texted any of my friends? And he's like, no. And if I texted, like, your friend Sarah, I would have told you. And I was like, oh, well, I don't care. You're welcome to text her. Y'all have stuff that could be in common. It's not weird to me. But it was weird and off-putting to him. And he finally said, I don't care. You can do that. It just surprised me that after 15 years, I didn't know that you texted my friends. And it was just something I had never considered, that maybe I should have told him I was texting his best friends. And I was wondering if it's a relationship party foul to text your significant other's best friends about things that don't have to do with your significant other if they don't know about it.
Yeah, so I've texted with Chad. And Chad's texted with me, but it was all stuff, I think, to surprise you. I don't think there was ever just like a one-off, you know, text or something like that.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think like you and Chad haven't hung out that much. So like
fair.
If you hung out,
that's
and
fair.
You found out his favorite band was like, I don't know, Social Distortion or whatever, and you heard a sick remix, you might send it to him, or you might send him an article about electric vehicles if you knew that Bart found a podcast on it and you knew he really liked it.
So I don't do this via text. I do this through my Instagram DMs. Mm. So my good friend Molly, her husband Joel, We will send each other like reels and memes and things of that nature.
Okay. See, to me, it's not, that's no different. It's just a different format.
I don't think it's weird because like of the way you're going about it. I just think it's rare. So I don't like people are not used to it. And I know my best friend, typically like my best friends and my significant other have a relationship and I wouldn't be weirded out that they were texting. But if I didn't know about it and I kind of just saw it pop up, I think my first reaction to it would be like, okay, what's this about? Simply because I didn't know.
Right.
But
that
I think,
makes sense.
You know what I mean? But if I knew it was happening and it was just like, oh, every once in a while, y'all check in on each other or happy birthday or whatever is going on, I don't think it would be weird to me.
I think this just goes down to how much you trust your friends. So I almost wonder, not to stir the pot here a little bit, but stir, does Chad have like a good relationship with his friends? Like, do you think that he deep down wonders if maybe they're trying to like slide in?
Oh, no, they are. They talk like all day, every day. It is a tight, tight group chat and they're all over the country. It is the closest knit friend group I have ever seen in my entire life. Like they are ride or die solid bros. I think it would be more weird if I were texting him like his friends all the time and he didn't know. But I think once every 6 months, I think Mo's right. Like Chad knows everything about my life essentially. And he didn't know that part. And so it's hard, I think, after 15 years to kind of blindside and shock your partner about
something.
Yeah,
like, I don't know everything about you. What?
Yeah.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
So, I was going to give us a break with Met Gala content, but Burt's not here.
Ha ha ha.
Mo is thrilled.
Oh, wonderful.
Mo just sent this one out.
You're like, I'm drowning in estrogen.
I promise we'll get to sports later in the day,
but there's
a little bit of Met Gala content that we got to clean up, that we got to make sure we get through before, you know, it becomes not newsworthy anymore. But did you see Kim Kardashian's waist on the Met Gala red carpet?
Yeah, that did not look healthy and it did not look comfortable. And the girl looked like she was about to pass out any second.
People have been joking that every year she just decides to make her costume just tiny waist and that's it. And she was doing a Get Ready With Me video and this is what she had to say about what it felt like to breathe in the costume.
How's the breathing? How's it going?
It's an art form, but I got it. I feel so snatched I won't even be able to communicate to you how snatched I feel.
So not only was she so snatched that she felt like she couldn't communicate, allegedly, according to this video, she wore heelless pumps because if she wore heels with that dress, it would have snagged on the fabric. So picture this. She's wearing platform. I don't want to call them stripper pumps, but that's kind of what they look like. They're clear, they're big, they're chunky, but there's no heel. So the entire time she was walking the red carpet, she was on her tippy toes like a ballerina, which admittedly takes a lot of athleticism.
It does. The corseted look, I think that is her go-to. And I saw one article coming after her for these unattainable or dangerous beauty, what's the word I'm looking for?
Beauty standards?
Standards.
Thank you very much. These unattainable or dangerous beauty standards, which would be the extremely corseted waist. Because, I mean, I saw people trying to dissect, like, where are her organs? Where are her ribs?
They say she ain't got no bones.
And where are her organs?
She ain't got no heart, so she got she's got a little extra room in there. But I was just shocked at some of the lengths that some of these people were going to bring these outfits out on the red carpet. Cardi B had 9 men carrying her Tool train. That's how big her dress was.
That's funny.
But she did seem to be having a really good time.
How does it feel to have 7 people helping you with your dress?
It makes me feel like, yeah. I'm that bitch. Could never before y'all consider comparing yourself to me.
You look unbelievable. Do you get like a little stressed out when you put together a look that's this extreme?
Absolutely. I mean, like the dress weighed more than me, so it's like it's weighing me down. It actually gives me like a headache. Like it actually makes me nauseous.
I know.
Yeah,
it's like it's work.
It's work.
It's
sure.
work. But you feel amazing. Who made this?
I feel amazing. It's this amazing designer. They're Asian and everything. So yeah.
I love it. Well, you look
gorgeous.
Shouldn't
know the name of the designer.
Oh my.
Yep.
Happy
AAPI month.
Oh,
7
party.
People carrying your dress. You don't know who made it.
That's also kind of like the one rule of the Met Gala, other than show up in a cool dress, is you're kind of the spokesperson for that designer. That's one of the reasons why they will pay for your ticket, which is $75,000, while they'll make you the dress. It's so you go out there and you promote them. And she was just like, yeah, I don't know who they are.
She got to fix that.
Yeah, she
got a big enough platform to fix that. She has to double back.
She has to.
Yeah. Jessica Biel also spent a decent amount of time getting ready. She said that she spent some time in the bath and 20 pounds of Epsom salts.
I know some people like to party before Met Ball and party all weekend and all the things, and I have total respect for that. This is what I do to get ready for Met Ball. 4, 8, 12, 16, 20 pounds of Epsom salt in a bath. Here we go, for real, with water as hot as you can take it. 30 minutes soak, night before. Tons of water then, off to bed early.
So people are like, why are you going to soak in that much salt? Well, A, it's supposed to be a relaxing thing to do, but also there was, I guess, an urban myth that it sucks out all the water in your body, so it makes you look super snatched. But doctors have come out and been like, yeah, you would have been fine with just one. Like 20 pounds is a little excessive.
Yeah, I saw somebody stitch this on Instagram, and they were talking about, is it dangerous? No. Is it necessary? No. And like, there's... like your 1 pound would have been sufficient. I think the 20 pounds was just overkill.
So I'm getting from this that the Met Gala, they go through the same training that like boxers do.
Yeah, seriously. Trying to take it, make weight. It's like the WWE of fashion.
I got it.
And a lot of people were wondering why Doja Cat showed up in a cotton t-shirt at the Met Gala, because again, you're supposed to really go all out. And she said that she wanted to use the most commonly used flower because it was the Garden of Time, even though that wasn't really, flowers wasn't really the theme.
Yeah.
She wanted to wear the most common flower out and about on the Met Gala red carpet. So she did follow the theme, just a little bit. All right, TikTok is filing a lawsuit against the U.S. government saying it violates the First Amendment. It's coming up on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Abby, how can it be that everything was going so great with this text exchange that your friend said one thing, I completely turned this guy off and he bailed?
I feel like a lot of women have been going through what I've been going through. You know, a couple of weeks ago I brought to the table, I'm like, I feel like there's something about me on the internet the guys are finding because they're asking me out. And then literally at the buzzer, they're saying, I don't really want to go out with you anymore. Well, that just happened to one of my friends, but I can't wrap my mind about why it would happen. For me, I can at least say, I probably saw something on the Burt Show that turned him off. I say a lot of stupid stuff, but for her, it's completely thrown me out, and I don't know what answers to give her.
So there's the obvious answers as far as, you know, somebody says something and you're like, yeah, I'm never talking to this person again. If they say something anti-Semitic, if they say something racist, if they say something, incredibly misogynistic, those are givens, right? Mo, can you think of anything else that if you were in a text exchange with a woman and she could say, and you would be like, yeah, no, I'm not continuing this conversation?
Nah, other than maybe bringing up like her ex too often, something like that, I would probably see as a red flag.
I have 12 kids.
That'll do it.
I have 12 cats.
That'll get me running. Something like that. Something in that range.
So I would love for the gentleman of the Burt Show to chime in. Jackson, feel free to trot on down here if you have an opinion. But my friend has been talking to this guy since maybe like November or December. She went on this group trip with a bunch of friends and she ended up meeting this really cool guy while she was on the trip. He's mutual friends with all her friends. He's really successful, has a stable job in another city. And they were just kind of casually talking for a couple of months. Nothing serious. They weren't like, you know, trying to like make anything happen. They would just Snapchat back and forth every now and then, like, you know, a couple of times a day. But a couple of times a day for a couple of months nonetheless. So it kind of turned into a little something.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to maybe like a month ago, she was going to go visit her friends in that city where he lives. So she has a bunch of like out-of-state friends in another city. And everything is like super normal. She's talking about how she's actually going to be in that city. And they're continuing their Snapchat streak. And nothing's really changed until, you know, they're talking about maybe meeting up and going out for a drink or having a date. And then she flies to that city to see her friends, not to see him. She just happens to be in that city. And she texts him, hey, I just landed in XYZ. I'm at the airport. Would be so cool to meet up at some point while I'm here for this weekend. Blah, 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 blah. Puts phone down. she doesn't hear from him for the rest of the weekend. She doesn't hear from him ever again.
Well, he didn't think that she was surprising him by visiting him.
But she's not surprising him. She's visiting his, she's visiting her friends. So, like, let's say they live in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's going to go have a weekend with her friends in Chicago, just visiting her friends, doing their own thing, going out to dinner. And she didn't go for him at all. She's like, mm-hmm. just want to let you know, hey, I'm here visiting Shelly in Chicago. It'd be cool if we met up again because they had such a great time hanging out. The first time.
I wonder if he got DeLulu and was like, oh my girl, oh my God, this girl is like stage five clinger. I can't believe she's like here and she's trying to see me. Like maybe he made it about him, even though it wasn't about him.
Okay.
If it wasn't clear, like if it wasn't completely clear, I could see him getting that message. But if that message was clear and he for him to just kind of, oh, I got to shut this down because she's coming at this point, it tells me that he wasn't ready for her to be there.
Or there's somebody else.
I hate to jump to conclusions. But usually that's because there's somebody else in your life.
Oh, so he didn't want, like, the two women to cross paths? Because it was very clear, like, from what I had gathered, it wasn't like some random, oh, by the way, I have this spontaneous trip. Like, it was something that they had planned out for a while for somebody's birthday, I think. So she was there specifically celebrating this one friend, trying to make sure that, you know, she's visiting her friends and going out of her way to see them. And then all of a sudden, like, she shows up. And he doesn't want to talk to her anymore. So it's like, okay, so now that I'm here in person, you don't want to, it's just so weird to me.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Because if they've been communicating that consistently, then obviously he likes her.
Yeah.
He enjoys talking to her. And then she's coming, but she's not coming for you. Which, that's convenient. Now the pressure is kind of off. Y'all can just see each other, kick it. It's not a big deal. You don't have to really host her the entire time. If anything, you jump at that opportunity if you like her. So for him to just back out completely... Yeah, it tells me that he was more so enjoying the communication with her, but there's somebody else that he's interested in as well.
I don't know how, like, open she is, but if this is where the relationship is now, which is non-existent,
yeah,
would she let us do a second date update?
Oh,
like a closure call?
I'll ask her. I think that would be something she's down for, but as far as I know, they haven't communicated since then.
Yeah.
And it's very bizarre.
Exactly. So if she still has had zero communication with him... I mean, what's going to change? That's what it's going to be. So let us reach out and see and try to figure out, like, WTF, like, you know.
Force him to man up.
Yep.
We'll see if he's dumped his side chick yet. I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Get it? The Bird Show.
All right. So, Abby, why was this woman laying on a yoga mat in the middle of Miami?
That was a question I asked myself when I was scrolling through TikTok the other day. So I was scrolling through and I saw this video of this woman who approached this chick in the middle of Miami, Miami's busy Brickell neighborhood. She's on a yoga mat in yoga clothes, just laying on her back. And this woman shows up and she's like, why are you doing this in the middle of this very busy city?
What are you doing here?
It's a rejection therapy. So you go and you do something super weird.
Yeah.
And the goal is to get a big amount of crazy looks. Like, oh my God, she's crazy. And so then, like, after you do a good amount of these exercises, you're not afraid of, like, people judging you or, like, rejecting you or looking weird at you.
Really?
Yeah. It's from a book called Not Nice. Like, he has all these...
Really? Well, that's funny.
Yes.
We thought you lost a bet or something.
No.
You just do it for yourself.
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
Yes.
Hope it works.
So that was from Kerr's Travel Stories on TikTok.
I found this absolutely fascinating because you walk up and there's this woman on like a yoga mat, the corner of a very, very busy sidewalk, and she's just laying there. And you would assume like, okay, this woman's like lost her mind, right? Mm-hmm. But to hear her say why she's doing it, I'm like, well, that makes total sense. So did you do a little more deep diving into like what exactly rejection therapy is in the book? I think she called, is it called Not Nice?
Not Nice. So rejection therapy, it's a social self-help game, but it was actually created by some guy named Jason Comley who didn't write the book, where the intention is to make rejection like a game. So you intentionally go into certain scenarios knowing or hoping that you're going to get rejected. So like she said, doing something like laying in the middle of the street where people are trying to get from point A to point B and you're just in the middle of their way, or going up to someone while they're on the phone in the middle of a conversation and asking, who are you on the phone with? Which to me honestly just sounds like you're becoming a nuisance to people. But
yeah,
the point is, if you can get rejected for like 30 days in a row, by the end of that 30 days, you aren't afraid of people anymore. So there's a couple of rules. There's three things you have to follow. The first is that the rejection will count if you are out of your comfort zone. So you can't go in knowing you're going to get rejected, but it's like, I don't know, a coworker that you're really comfortable with. The second is the rejection will count is if your request gets denied. So if you get rejected. And then the third one is if you are in a position of vulnerability. Words are hard. Vulnerability. So again, you can't be in like a situation where you're comfortable and you can kind of control the rejection. The object is to make yourself as uncomfortable as possible. There's a guy who actually bought this game. His name is Jia Zhang. And he decided to create a bunch of strategies and coping mechanisms and purchased the game back in 2016 when he did 100 days of rejection therapy. So it was pretty wild.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, I've seen a lot of my male friends getting rejected by women for 30 years, so they should be plenty comfortable by now.
I know. I wish more guys were putting themselves in rejection therapy because I don't need to do this. I've been rejected 1,000 times.
Yes, Tommy.
This has been around for a minute. I did this when I was in NC State in a college class. I think it was psychology. We had to do something similar, and I chose to walk through our free expression tunnel, which was this tunnel where everybody at the college walked through. It was very high traffic, like shoulder to shoulder, and I went through the wrong way and had to go through all the people and get cussed out and all that.
Wow.
Oh, no.
It was not fun.
It don't sound like it.
All right, so we got some good news that I wanted to share because this story, I think, is just, it's so important that you know how to do CPR. Two high schoolers near Detroit were honored after saving a teacher's life back in March. So gym teacher Alfred Catola had a heart attack during a student-teacher basketball game. But there were two juniors there, Israel DeBose and Corey Coleman, and they did CPR and brought him back to life. So here is the gym teacher, Catola, and the two students, the two girls, talking about this life-saving rescue.
Medically, I was gone. My dad and my brother both went the same age, 53, 55, boom.
We were sitting in the bleachers. Something's wrong. I just knew I had to do something. I began compressions, and around two and a half rounds of compressions, the AED was brought. Corey placed the AED pads.
I was like, if you get tired, you know, let me take over compressions.
My baby brother has seizures, so I always want to learn CPR.
Oh. Is that not incredible?
That is beautiful. Awesome.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that it was a student-teacher basketball game, but it was the students that took control of the situation and sat there and did the compressions and did the patches. And, like, he literally owes his life to those students.
Yeah, I'm glad they were there because I'd just be like, what was that Office episode? What's the song we're supposed to use?
Stay alive.
You're on The Burt Show.
Do you know a senior graduating?
No.
Okay. Well, then this doesn't apply to you.
It was a rhetorical question. Okay.
No, it's for all the people who are listening to this show right now.
You work here. Yeah.
I bet they know a senior.
I bet some of them. And they do because they have called and they've left messages and senior shout outs. So if you have a senior, know a senior, would love to do a senior shout out, whether they're graduating from high school or graduating from college, we would love for you to do so. And it should sound a little something like this.
This message is a shout out for Savannah Hayes from McIntosh High School in Peachtree City, Georgia. Savvy, we are so ridiculously proud of you. You are the first of the oldest grandchild, so you're graduating first and kind of setting the tone for everybody. You've done such amazing things during your time at high school, from your AP classes to your journalism awards, your zoo internship, and all of the photo modeling that you've done for Aunt Megan. We love you so much. We think you are so amazing, and we can't wait to see what big things you do at UGA. Go Dogs. We love you, Savvy.
Shouting out my super senior, Roman Von Essen, graduating from Cherokee High School in Canton, Georgia. This kid did the damn thing. He struggled with dyslexia and ADHD and did not enjoy school and is finishing out with all A's. Let's go, Roo!
Shout out to Bowie Appel, senior at Lumpkin County High School, Dahlonega, Georgia.
I would like to shout out Luke Pinataro, who's graduating from Locust Grove High School in Locust Grove, Georgia. I just want to tell you, Luke, I'm so proud of you, and I cannot wait to see what your future holds. Love, Mom.
I would like to give a big shout out to my granddaughter, Abigail Toland, in Ackworth, Georgia, graduating from North Paulding High School. We're so proud of you, Sky. Love you.
I love those so much. All right, so if you would like to leave a senior shout out, you can leave us a voice message at 404-954-1360. Or you can also download the Burt Show app and you can download audio there. If you can't remember all that, just head to theburtshow.com. I'm doing this not because I want to, because I have to, and I need to hold myself accountable. There's two things on my mom to-do list that I have been putting off and putting off and putting off. And I'm a procrastinator anyway. But now it's like to the detriment of my child. So it's like, I need to get these things done. And it's important to get these things done for the benefit of my child. And you think that would be enough, right? And I'm trying to get down to the nugget of why I keep pushing this off. One, I think it's because I don't want to let go of my baby. And by doing these things, he's not a baby anymore. He's a boy. He's a big boy.
What, you're giving him like his first cigarette or something? What's going on?
Baby's first ciggy. Man, that should go in the baby book. I need to tackle potty training with my son. And I also need to tackle thumb sucking with my son.
Oh, yeah. Because then he turns into Bucky.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is what I, like, I was Bucky. Man, I had some jacked up teeth as a kid. Granted, I was born that way because my, anyway,
you
long
were
story.
Born busted?
I was 100%. 100%.
You started from the bottom. Now you hit him.
Yes, thank you. There's been metal in this mouth from, I'm not kidding you, first grade till sophomore year of high school.
Shut up.
That's how jacked up these teeth were. Anyway, so Jimmy, he's ready to potty train. He's been ready to potty train, right? And it just seems like such a huge hurdle. And I've Googled, I have a book, and I'm reading what I need to do to make this successful and like one and done. And you literally do need to dedicate like 3 solid days, like full attention on the kid, like nothing else. Because this book I'm reading, I think it's called like, Oh Crap. Literally, yeah.
Oh crap, I have to potty train my kid.
Something like that, yeah. Something to that effect. And so the first day, they're completely naked, right? So Jimmy's not wearing anything the first day. And there will be accidents, right? But
I still do that today. It is what it is.
And then he had his very first dentist appointment the other week.
How'd he do? That's always a gamble.
He did fantastic. So what I was not prepared for, what my mama heart was not prepared for, is we went to this, you know, dentist specifically for kids, and you walk in, and of course it's very welcoming, and the tech comes out and takes your child back by himself.
Like, you don't go back?
No.
Well, we do at ours.
Yeah.
They want the parents to come back. I think it depends on the dentist.
Well, our dentist, they don't want you back there.
Ooh, that would have broken my heart.
So they came out and they get him because with parents there, because your parents are the safe space, so it'll be harder for them to like get comfortable, and they'll be more closed up. So the tech comes out, and so there's little Jimmy, and he's properly fearful of strangers, and he takes her hand and he hangs his head and he just slowly like walks out of the room.
Aww.
He's going to the back, and then we don't see him the whole time. They come and they're like, all right, we're going to sneak back so you can see them. So we go through the back, and he can't know we're there. So we're like peering behind a wall and looking, and she's got the little suction thing in his mouth, and he's like, hee, hee. And he was 100% totally fine. And then he got to go to the treasure chest, and, you know, life is good. But he's a thumb sucker. And so the dentist was like, you know, you need to work on this. And I'm like, well, we have to tackle potty training first. And, like, you know, it's like one thing at a time, right? So I just need to be held accountable, which is why I'm saying it here on air, that I need to get my S together so I can get my son to S in the toilet. Like, this is what we're trying to do. And Katie, you told me that you have a special potty training song.
Yes. Now, my mother has created her own soundtrack for my life. And for those who don't know, it started with Mama's Baby is Katie. That's the song she used to sing to me when I was a baby to put me to sleep. And, you know, occasionally she still sings it to me today. And yes, I am 30 years old.
You've heard right.
That one went platinum in our house. The second single.
That's the number one hit now.
The second single was our potty training song. And so I went back to confirm with my mom that I was not making this up and it wasn't a fever dream. I was like, Mom, this is the song that you used to potty train me. She said, yes. She said, first, Katie, we started off by just putting you in panties, because if you peed on yourself, you would know that I don't like that feeling. You don't want to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Then she said, came up with the song. Now, Kristen, you may have changed the lyrics a little bit.
Okay.
Because it was catered to a girl.
Got it.
And also, you don't just use this for inspiration. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
You need us to, like, drop a beat or something?
No.
We're getting this live.
Yeah. Okay. Just like Mama's Baby's Katie. It was all a cappella.
Oh, okay. Big facts.
It had its own tune, right?
Yeah.
So she would look at me, and she'd be like, all right, Katie, it's the pee-pee girl. It's the pee-pee girl. Who's the pee-pee girl? You're the pee-pee girl.
Hey.
I'm the pee-pee girl. I'm the pee-pee girl. And she said,
if y'all don't use that as your ringtone for Katie, we are living life wrong.
All right, that's about to be my number one.
Can we
Spotify.
Put a beat on that, Tommy, and like get that rocking, please? Right.
To this day, like, we'll make jokes, like, who's the pee-pee girl? You're the pee-pee girl. And she said that would encourage me to go pee. Like, when she was singing, I'd be like, oh, I'm the pee-pee girl.
Because you do have
peeing.
You have to remind, like, so, like, literally, like, every 2 hours, like, you're, like, reminding them, hey, like, let's go try to pee-pee so you can get used to sitting on the toilet. Like, there's a whole, like, method, and I'm screwing it up right now because I need to go back and read the book again. But, so, obviously, he's the pee-pee boy.
Yeah. And so, then it's like when you go to the bathroom, he's like, oh, I'm the pee-pee boy. You
right.
know?
All right, pee-pee. So let's do we're gonna do this. We're gonna sing the pee-pee boy. Okay.
All right.
So you're gonna kick us off, Katie.
All right. It's the pee-pee boy. It's the pee-pee boy. He's the pee-pee boy. He's the pee-pee boy.
Listen. It's the Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
So TikTok is suing the U.S. government to stop an enforcement of a bill that passed last month. So, you know, we're not going to be able to scroll on TikTok. But I got to be honest with you. I don't want to talk about that right now. I listened to this audio that Mo sent to me of Caitlin Clark at a press conference with the most uncomfortable question from a reporter. So this reporter, for context, has now been suspended. suspended. He won't be allowed to cover the her team, the Fever, because of this weird thing that he said where he made some heart hands at her. Because I guess that's like a thing that
that's
she does.
That's her move that she does when she scores.
So she does that. And so then he does it to her and then proceeds to just make things way more uncomfortable than they need to be.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, oh, let me do this.
He does the heart hands.
Like
that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine.
It's very, very creepy, very, very uncomfortable. So now he has been suspended because of this very awkward interaction between him and Caitlin Clark, of course, who's going to be the star of Indianapolis.
Yeah, he immediately came out and apologized afterwards. Like, listening to it, not that I'm trying to defend the dude, but I don't think he intended to be creepy. I think it just came out creepier than he intended it to be. Because, like, he was just, like, he wasn't trying to make it sexual. He was just, like, the heart hands or whatever, because that's her thing. And this is such a huge star. And I think he got nervous. And I think he said something stupid. And he immediately regretted it because of his reaction afterwards and his apology. Not excusing it. This doesn't excuse the comment, but I do think there was ignorance there, not malice.
I do think him saying what he said at the end of, if you do that from here on out, then we'll be fine. Like, if I was her, that would have made me uncomfortable. Because why do I have to do anything for you to be fine in this situation? And so for that alone, to me, if she felt uncomfortable with that comment, I completely understand why. And for it to be the first conference, I could see why they was like, okay, we've heard enough of him.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. All right, back to TikTok. So they're suing the U.S. government to stop the enforcement of that bill that passed that is hoping to force the owner to sell it because apparently them having the data based in Texas, and it's very convoluted where they have no proof that the Chinese owner of TikTok is basically storing data and using it against Americans. So it's supposedly this national security risk, but they have no proof for it. So now TikTok is coming back and saying that this is a violation of our First Amendment rights to be able to use this app. So the lawsuit says that this is an unprecedented violation. It states that Congress has not offered any evidence suggesting that this is a security risk. A statement from TikTok says, for the first time in history, Congress has enacted a law that subjects a single named speech platform to a permanent nationwide ban and bars every American from participating in a unique online community with more than 1 billion people worldwide. Obviously, the Department of Justice not coming out and saying anything about this, but we can assume that at some point they will have a rebuttal for this, because now it just seems like it's going to be a back and forth legal thing for the next year, couple years, and really nothing is probably going to come from this.
Yeah, I don't see it getting shut down anytime soon.
No,
I don't either.
All right, a security guard was shot outside of Drake's mansion in Toronto. Do we think this has anything to do with the current beef between him and Kendrick?
So that was the obvious first response to it from a lot of different people, but from people who have been doing the digging behind the scenes, it actually appears that this came from the Weeknd's camp. Allegedly, that's what people are alleging, that OVO, which is Drake's camp, has had a behind the scenes beef that's much deeper than hip hop for a while now, before this even started. And allegedly, there was a security guard that was also shot on the week from the Weeknd's camp a while ago. And this may be some sort of retaliation, because Drake and the Weeknd both being from Canada, and they've had some history and they've been beefing for a while. So we don't know that it has anything to do with the Kendrick and Drake beef. People seem to think it actually has something more so to do with the Weeknd and Drake beef.
Do we have any idea what that beef between the Weeknd and Drake is? Like, do we have any ideas?
Well, I think it stemmed from when the Weeknd first came onto the scene. Drake wanted to sign him, and the Weeknd did not want to. He wanted to do his own thing. So Drake asked the Weeknd for a couple songs. He ended up taking about 5 of the Weeknd songs and putting them on his album. So there was some tension between the two of them ever since. And the bigger the Weeknd got, Canada just wasn't big enough for the both of them.
All right. He says he never married because he didn't want his mom to be jealous. Is he a devoted son, or is this unhealthy? It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Listen, it's The Burt Show.
All right. Burt had the idea of a superficial bucket list where it's like small, trivial things that you want to learn. I think one of the first things he wanted or threw out there was like he wanted to learn how to pick a lock, right? Oh, like yeah. That was on his superficial bucket list. I do feel they've grown since then.
Astronomically.
I don't feel like there's some of them are so much superficial anymore as they're like, I think these would be on people's like legit bucket list. So his now is to be on the giant billboard at Atlanta's airport as you're coming up that massive escalator welcoming everybody to Atlanta, and there's all these local Atlanta celebrities, and Bert's like, I'm a local Atlanta celebrity. I'd like to have my face up there, please.
Free for me honor.
We don't have any updates on that yet.
Oh, we are working on it.
I know you are.
Okay. But I tell you what, out of the four of you guys, this is proving to be the hardest thing to make happen.
Well, duh.
I would imagine
It's not superficial. Like, this is a massive deal.
Did you see that they took the sign down, though? Somebody was in the airport 2 days ago, and they sent me a DM, and the sign has been taken down from the escalator.
That giant digital billboard?
Oh, yes, it's gone. So
no way.
It might be a little bit more difficult to actually get the billboard back up.
Yeah, they installed some cameras in one part so that people waiting for people to arrive could see who's getting off the train so they could be prepared to pick up their loved ones and family members. So they installed a new screen, but I hadn't heard about the big one coming down. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's gone, according to this one listener. Unless they were taking it down for maintenance and they're putting it back up. But
I have an idea. Here. We have that Bird Show standee here in the studio. We can put some duct tape on the back of that. He's got a goatee and some teeth are marked out now, but we can do that.
And Mo, what did you have on your superficial bucket list?
It really doesn't make a lot of sense. I understand that because I have gone actual skydiving before, but there was always something about indoor skydiving that I always wanted to experience as well, so I can kind of get a feel for what the differences are. So indoor skydiving was mine.
Indoor skydiving. And guess what? Tommy has done the hard work behind the scenes. Tommy, would you like to introduce who we have on line 9?
We have Ebo Clark. Ebo, short for Ebony. I thought that was the coolest name ever.
Oh, that's fly.
I fly. Atlanta.
That's where she's from. <the name.
laughs> It comes out naturally, people.
What's up, Ebo?
Hello, Ebo?
We gave you a great setup here, Ebo.
She's there.
She's speechless.
Ebo from I Fly. Are you there? Well, this is just...
She flew right out of here.
Go to the next one. We'll get her back on.
My superficial bucket list item is to ride a horse. I have sat on a horse, but I've actually never ridden a horse, like where it actually took steps and stuff.
Being from Kentucky.
I know. It makes absolutely zero sense. And we had the sweetest Bird Show listener. Like the day we talked about this, mine like almost immediately got taken care of. So Bird Show listener Jill Stimson called us up. She's like, dude, my daughter rides. And then she hooked us up with Remy Champion of Bayside Equestrian in Milton, Georgia. Hey, Remy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kristen. How are you guys?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. I have to ask you, did you get kicked out of Kentucky because you've never ridden a horse?
That's the real reason.
Among many, many other reasons, Remy. Among many other. All right. So can you tell us a little bit about Bayside Equestrian?
Yeah. So we are a competitive hunter jumper program. So I'll break that down for you guys. So we do English style riding. That means no horn on the front of the saddle. And we focus on jumping.
Okay.
We are located in Milton, Georgia, but we are about to transition over the next couple months to the beautiful Jasper. We offer boarding training lessons. We do competitions. I think we've got riders pretty much of all levels and ages, so we cater to pretty much anyone. We have some that do just pleasure. We have some that are more competitive. So kind of everything in between.
Well, I have sat on a horse. Where does that put me as far as my level?
Yeah, how good are you at riding?
I'd say more intro level, but we can work it up.
All right, so I'm gonna contact you. We're gonna set up a date and time, and I'm gonna come out.
Yeah,
so
let's do it.
What can I expect? Like when I show up? Like what do I need to prepare?
So you'll need boots,
okay,
and a helmet. If you need help with a helmet, I'm happy to provide.
Perfect.
But you do need closed-toed shoes with a heel.
Okay.
And I'm going to teach you all the important stuff on the ground, safety, horsemanship, how to brush the horse, how to tack them up. And then we'll get you on and get you riding.
Oh, my God. That's so exciting.
And what's the name of the horse you've chosen for Kristen?
So she's going to ride Livy. Livy is a barn favorite. She's named after her color, which is kind of unique. It's liver chestnut.
Uh-huh.
And she has the cutest, sassiest hair that I thought you would love. We call it her Karen hair. So she's got this like long, flat bangs and then her mohawk in the back.
I love it. Libby and I can already feel it. We're gonna mesh so well. Remy from Bayside Equestrian, thank you so much for for doing this. And then I'll be in contact with you so I can check this off on my bucket list.
Awesome. I look forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. So we're going to go back and try to get Ebo on. Yep. All right. Ebo Clark.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. There you are. All right, Mo, I'll let you take it from here.
All right, Ebo, I got to be able to trust you so we ain't get off to a good start. All right, because you're going to have me in the air. What's going on?
I got you. Don't worry about it. I got the best instructor, so we will take care of you when you come to iFly Indoor Skydiving to check this off your bucket list.
Awesome. What should I do to prepare, or is there anything that I need to know?
No, nothing to prepare. We'll take care of everything for you. I can get the waiver over to you. You'll watch a video. But basically, when you come into our establishment, we will pretty much teach you everything you need to know. Since we can't talk while you're in the tunnel, we will show you our hand signals and how we communicate in the tunnel. My instructors are professionals, so they will take care of you. We will ensure that you get stable in the wind and pretty much try to get you to do some level one skills, which are either turning, going left and right, and up and down. But we've got fun for all ages, starts at the age of 3 years old and up.
Shut up.
So it's extremely safe. It's a family fun time. We have an extensive STEM program for the teachers out there. And we also do all abilities. So we are able to fly those that have disabilities as well. So we do a lot here at iFly, and we are so excited that you chose us, and we can't wait to fly you.
Oh, I'm excited. Let's do it. Kristen, you want me to hold off so I can bring Jimmy?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, I would love to.
You got to bring the whole team.
Let's do it.
If it's three and up, I would love to bring Jimmy and see who could fly better.
Yay.
All right, so Ebo from iFly Atlanta, thank you so much for helping Mo check this off his bucket list.
Appreciate you.
Of course, of course. We'll see you soon, Mo.
Looking forward to it.
All right, and then we have Abby, which I think, like yours, honestly, I don't feel is that superficial. I feel like this is like a legit bucket list item like a lot of people have.
Yeah, I've always thought it'd be really cool to be an extra in a movie. Like, it's too late in life for me to become an actress. But if I could be in, like, the background of one scene, I think that'd be a really cool thing to, like, check off the bucket list and make happen.
Well, Tommy, again, has been working very hard behind the scenes. Tommy, would you like to introduce Abby to the person that's going to make her bucket list extra movie dream come true?
Yes, Abby. When you ask for this, it's like the stars aligned. Because my neighbor, who lives literally across the street from me, is a film director.
No way!
His name is Jason Devan. He and his wife, Heather, are directors and producers, and they've made a couple movies here in Georgia, Along Came the Devil and Along Came the Devil 2. The first one actually starred a young Sydney Sweeney.
No way!
Ashley, she's here.
Mom?
Ask her again.
Mom, are you here? Please, Mom, I'm begging you. I want you in my life. Will you please come back to me? I love you, please.
That's Sydney Sweeney, and it must have been like her first movie, but his name is Jason Devan from Devan Clan Productions. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Hello, Abby. I'm here to make your extra bucket list come true.
I'm sure this is every actor's dream to be an extra.
So what is the what's the protocol in to become an extra, Jason?
Well, usually they put out like an extra call for extras to come to set, you know, and usually a lot of times on movies when you're shooting, you don't really get to work with the extras. But, you know, in when you're talking directly to the director or working with the director, they have a little bit of pull to pull specific people from the extra crowd into scenes where you really get to see them. Usually it's family members or somebody that's been acting and wants to be an actor. So I think in your case, we can make that happen.
And is there something you're working on right now that Abby here in the near future could be an extra for?
Yeah, we actually are. We are bringing Need a Little Christmas, a Christmas comedy here to film in Georgia, and working with Gravitas Ventures on Along Came the Devil 3 as we speak. So we'll be shooting here very shortly.
Oh, my God, that sounds so fun. Okay. So is there anything I have to do? Do I need to get like a SAG-AFTRA card or whatever?
change
my name.
We didn't say we were giving you any lines. we're just gonna see how you look on camera.
First. Yeah, I'll sit there and look pretty.
Yeah, exactly. We will definitely be in touch with Tommy, and we can let you know. And then you can follow us on Instagram to know when the movies are going down, which will be on the Van Clan Productions Instagram, and we'll just let you know.
Perfect. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, there you go, guys. So right now we're 3 for 4. We just got
still working on Bert.
Still working on Bert.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
Mo has entered into a new relationship. What happened to the lady?
Well, sometime in life, I think one of the harder things for people to do, especially when you were in a relationship that was really, really good to you and worked really well for a long time, but it just, like a lot of good things in life, it comes to an end, and it doesn't really end well. At some point, you have to pick yourself up, and you have to entrust in someone new, and you have to start all over. And that's always a struggle. And that has been a struggle for me for a long time now. And I've come in and I've told y'all that there was something going on in my life where I was really struggling to move on, but it needed to happen. Have y'all noticed anything different about me this week?
Oh, I think I know what it is. Did you get a new barber?
I got a new barber. I'm back, baby.
All right, tell everybody the backstory of what happened with the OG barber, who you are incredibly loyal to.
Yes, because, I mean, listen, in black culture, man, your hair is everything. If to a black man getting a new haircut and having a barber, you don't want to just continue to have to switch barbers all of the time. So when I came to Atlanta, one of the first things that I was concerned with was finding a barber, like immediately. That was so important to me. And I found one, and we had a great relationship. He was coming out to cut my hair. And it sucks because
he did home visits.
And I mean, I know with men, like especially like black men, we have short hair. So it's like, what is the big deal? But your barber does learn your hair. Like he learns your hairline. He knows exactly how to fade it. He knows how you like, if you like it rounded or squared in the back. So it's a thing. And you don't have to say anything to him. He comes in, he gets it done. He knows if you like to talk, if what you like to talk about. So we developed a good relationship for 6 years behind this. And I got super comfortable with him. And then one day, after 6 years, he came to me and he upped the price by over 50% of what he was currently charging me. And so I was like, I didn't tell him no at first. I understand inflation. I get it. It just caught me off guard a little bit, but I wasn't mad at him. Your price is your price, and you got every right to ask for what you believe you deserve. But I went and did some shopping around just to see if there were other better options out there. And there were a couple, but I could not find the right person, one, and I just didn't want to just go to anyone and put my hair in anyone's hands and just trust them. So for about maybe 6 months, I was contemplating on, am I going to go to a new barber or am I going to go back to my old barber and just suck it up and say, let's do it. And I was speaking to my friends about it and they were like, I don't like it. I don't like the way it's like, it's okay that he wanted more money, but the way he kind of approached you and made it seem like this is the last cut I'm going to do. And if you don't start paying me this amount, then I'm never coming back. It almost felt like a shakedown. It had that feel of, I know you got it, so pay it, or I'm never coming back.
Well, I know with my salon, my stylist, she will send out an email, right, and let everybody know, hey, heads up, our prices, because color is more expensive, blah, blah, blah. So we are, you know, our prices are changing, and here's the changes. And at the end, it's not like, take it or leave it. You know what I mean? It's right. Like, this is what's happening, and either you can roll with it, or you can find somewhere else to do your hair.
And I think even that would have softened the blow a little bit if that was a yearly thing. If every year we're just going up, I understand that. I'm cool with that. But if this been this way for 6 years and this is the way we kind of have it, and I've tipped them very well throughout all of those 6 years, it felt like I thought we had something here. Like maybe we don't have what I thought we had. So I started to shop around, and one of my friends was like, man, I'm telling you, I got a really good barber. He has his own shop. He cuts on his own, so you don't have to go in there and deal with a lot of different people. He gets right to it. He's prompt. He's on time, and I think you'll like him. And so I was like, all right, I was so tired of cutting my own hair. I mean, I did well enough to get by, but I had a hat on every day for the last 6 months for a reason. I'm not a professional barber.
I did notice that.
Yeah, that's why. Because it's like, I was eyeing on the left side, that right side get funny. So I was tired of wearing hats, which I never thought would be a thing. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do it. I'm going to move on. And I did. I finally went to see him and everything went well. I realized that I was really making a big deal out of this and I shouldn't have. And it was cool. He cut me up. He learned my hair. And I think it's the start of a really beautiful relationship.
We're so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What do you get? Do you get somebody a gift when they find a new barber?
I don't know. How should we celebrate this? Because this is a big deal because I still haven't found somebody in Atlanta to do my hair. And it's because I'm afraid to break up with my girl back in Florida because she does such a good job. Technically, I can go see her. So I'm like, how do I make that leap of faith? And it's more expensive here because, you know, cost of living. So we have to do something big.
Can we celebrate? We have to because I'm my confidence is back.
Thank you for listening to The Burt Show. If you liked what you heard, then go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. If you didn't like it, well, that means you need to listen better. And give us a 5-star rating anyway.
You're on The Burt Show.
Burt Show, the Pinot Period Party is almost here. Pinot Period Party is all to benefit helping mamas. They're actually the Baby Bank Supply of Georgia. But May is Period Poverty Awareness Month, and they also collect period products for women and menstruators in need, okay? So we are going to gather at Chateau Alon Winery and Resort in North Georgia. And this is going to all go down Sunday, May 19th from 2 to 4 p.m. We're all going to gather. We're going to bring all these period products. So we're talking tampons, pads, and panty liners. And we're going to put period kits together for those in need. Chateau Alon is stunning. We did it there last year. They had the perfect, gorgeous venue for us. We may have got drunk and rolled down the Vineyard Hills. I don't recommend doing that.
There's no May. I can confirm the rolling happened.
So DJ Willie T is going to be there with his special period playlist. He did fantastic with the music last year. There's going to be wine for purchase. There's going to be food for purchase. Also, we have a mocktail. Somebody hit me up. They're like, hey, if I don't drink, can I come? Absolutely. We're going to have a specialty mocktail and we're just going to have a really good time. The vibes were so incredible last year and I'm really looking forward to it. We also have incredible prizes for you to register for. There's going to be this awesome raffle. So if you would like to try to win a weekend stay at Chateau Alon, that's up for grabs. We also have incredible treatments valued at over $2,000 from Atlanta Face and Body. J. Gold Salon has stepped up with a prize. Sweet Peach Sugaring and Wax Studio has stepped up with a surprise, a prize. And then Q99.7 will hook you up with a pair of tickets to see Justin Timberlake. So all of that is up for grabs. And then also I wanted to mention as we get closer to the date, if you can't make it, but you would still like to donate, this year we're doing something different and we have drop-off locations. So all of the Sweet Peach Wax and Sugaring Studios, you can drop off period products. Same goes for the J. Gold Salon. Same goes from Atlanta Face and Body and here at the radio station. So even if you really want to make it, but you can't, but you want to donate some products so we can put period kits together, I think that would be fantastic. And so all the details are at theburtshow.com because I know I'm throwing a lot of information at you. But bottom line, Sunday, May 19th, Chateau Alon Winery from 2 to 4. Would love to have you there and just making a difference and doing some good for Period Poverty Awareness Month, which is May, and to support helping mamas. So, of course, I got period on the brain because, you know, this is what I'm doing. And I saw this pop up on my timeline from the Female Quotient on Instagram. And I saw it's a group of women soccer players on the field wearing their white kits and celebrating what like they look like they scored a goal. And on the picture, the verbiage says women's soccer teams have started ditching white shorts when new research revealed that teams who played in white performed worse due to period anxiety.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right? Uh-huh. And I remember, because I played basketball in middle school and high school, and I had one of those Canon moments, right? Because they can be good and they can be bad.
Uh-huh.
And we were at home and we were playing and I bled through my white shorts and another girl on the team had to give me her white shorts so I could finish the game because I was a senior and I was starting at that time. So one of the freshmen had to give up her white shorts so I could still go out there and play. So I read and there was a study done. And research shows that female soccer players who compete in white shorts underperform due to period anxiety. So they're going to get rid of the white unis.
Oh my gosh, this makes total sense. I mean, if you're trying to, like, if you're on the field and you're kicking the ball in the back of your head, you're like, wait a second, is there something on the back of my shorts? You don't have the awareness and the mental agility to be able to perform at your best.
It takes away your focus.
Uh-huh. And every girl knows, like, whenever it's that time and you stand up and you're always like, is it? Is it there? Is it not? Is it there? And then you have to like get your trusted female friend to be like, hey, I need you to watch my ass as I walk away.
Watch it the whole game, actually. Huh? At any point.
All right. So, Jackson, there was like an impressive heist here in Atlanta this past weekend.
Yes. There has been a theft, a robbery, a heist, whatever you want to call it. But this is literally like movie level of heist that happened. I saw this originally on ATL Scoop, and then I went online and just did a little bit more research to see if there was an actual article about it. And so according to WSB TV, at around 4:15 a.m., two thieves wearing white ski masks and gloves cut a hole through a roof of a local Atlanta strip club and climbed into the business where they used power tools to break into the safes located inside.
And how much did they steal from Onyx?
Take a guess. How much do you guys think that they stole?
$1 million.
Come on now.
Wow. 100,000.
$250,000.
Oh, my gosh.
$250,000?
Yes. $250,000 in cash.
Wow.
And so they apparently spent over 2 hours inside of the business performing this elaborate heist. Apparently, there is surveillance footage of them, you know, conducting this crime, and they left at around 6 o'clock in the morning.
Do we know how many people it was? Like, it was a team?
Two guys.
Just two guys?
Two guys cut a hole in the roof of Onyx, slid down. You feel like they have to have insider information.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, there was some speculation when I was reading through some of the comments of people thinking, like, maybe it's, like, an inside job of two employees that know sort of their ways to get around things and, like, you know, where the safes are, everything like that, because you'd have to have some intel, some knowledge before this.
And it makes sense. I think this went down, like, early Monday morning or something like that.
Yeah, it was 4:15 in the morning.
So after a full weekend, right?
Yep, the timing.
After a full weekend, you're going to have a safe full of money because that's, I think, probably, like, your highest peak time for collecting money. And then you're probably going to take all that money to the bank on Monday, but you swoop in Monday before. I feel like it's an inside job.
And not only that, they did a lot of research clearly on exactly what they were doing to get in and get out that smooth and be able to actually get away with it in today's day and age with all these cameras and all of that. That's impressive.
That's smooth, but you said they were in there for 2 hours?
Yeah, that seems like a long time.
So no alarm went off? Like, they didn't have any type of security system that would have alerted the police?
Maybe that is also a detail of how they were insiders, because maybe they knew that if you went through the roof, if you cut a hole through the roof, then that wouldn't happen. So, I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Because, I mean, I don't really expect a local Atlanta strip club to have, like, lasers.
That's what I'm imagining in my head, though.
I know. If you've got $250,000 in your safe, I kind of do expect you to have a ton of cameras, motion sensor. Yeah, maybe not lasers, but like something.
A camera on the safe.
At least.
Yes, right?
Yeah. At the minimum.
I'm going to guess that they're not going to be waiting till Monday to get money picked up anymore because they don't want this to happen again.
Wow.
You're on The Burt Show.